Well, thank you, ladies. Good morning, everyone. Let's stand together this morning as we turn our hearts towards the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a call to worship on our screen today. I will praise thee, Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Let's turn in our hymnals to page 105, please. 105. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord, you give us to come to your house here to worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the great God that you are, for our daily provision, Lord, our safety, all that you do for us, Lord, we don't even give appreciation. But, Lord, you're always there, and we thank you, Lord, for you. Thank you for this opportunity to be here today, Lord, for those that came out. A lot of sickness in our church, Lord, people missing today. Other things going on, Lord, I pray, Lord, that people would put you first in responsibility, Lord, to be here today to worship you, Lord, and to be with us and to fellowship, Lord, and to go into your word together. Lord, our pastor's about to speak, Lord. Guide him and direct him today, Lord. Give him that power that he needs, Lord, to present your word today, Lord, especially what you've laid in his heart. I pray, Lord, that it would touch someone here today, Lord, that someone would get right, Lord, before they leave this building today. Folks still might be coming in, Lord. I pray you guide and direct there, keep them, and get them here. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, page. We got one more hymn to go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. 448, please. This was my selection. I don't know why. God just said turn the page, so I did. 448. Jesus the Nazarene, shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden. He prayed, not my will, but thine. He had no tears for his own blood. Red drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Savior's love for me.
Sing the last.
When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, oh how wonderful, is my Savior's love for me.
Thank you. Jason has special for us today.
Good morning. How marvelous, how wonderful. Amen. That's a good song. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, this morning I'm taking care of the announcements this morning and filling in for Autumn Honor Special too. So that's why I'm down here, and you guys are going to be fed up with me by the time I'm done. Tonight's message: Paul's testimony. What's yours? Part 3 and communion. The drama team meets every Monday at 6 p.m. So if you need a little bit more drama in your life, come on down and share it with us. Personal evangelism, December 14th and 28th, which are Tuesdays, I believe, at 6 p.m. here at church. Wilton Bible Study, that is December 2nd and 16th at 6 p.m., and that's at the Presbyterian Church basement over in Wilton. Men's Bible Study, December 18th, 9 a.m., no women's Bible study for December. Quarterly business meeting, that would be the 12th of this month at 6 p.m., please let the pastor know if there are any items to discuss. Let me see. The drama sketch, December 12th. So, again, we're going to have some extra drama. We're going to have meeting and drama. That kind of goes together. All right. Christmas Eve service, December 24th, 4:30 p.m. And today, right after church, maybe 10, 15 minutes, a short choir practice. Pastor's thought for the week: I have no regrets about what I've tried and failed at, only about what I failed to try. And by the way, a special thank you to all the people that came and decorated the church. And just a thought for myself today that, you know, maybe the Lord gave to me is that as we're preparing our houses and decorating, are we preparing our hearts? Well, amen. And as I said before, I'm filling in for Autumn today, so bear with me if I make a few little mistakes here and there. Amen. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him." And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. From Matthew chapter 2.
Follow the star to a place unexpected. Would you believe, after all we've projected, a child with his mother? Lowly and small, the weakest of all, the unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's arms, just a child. Is this who we've waited for? How many kings have stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that's torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? Bringing our gifts to the newfound Savior, all that we have, whether costly or meek, because we believe. Gold for his honor, and frankincense for his pleasure, and myrrh for the cross that he'll suffer. Do we believe? Is this who we've waited for? How many kings have stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have torn out their hearts to romance a world that's torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? How many kings have stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that's torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for you and me? Only one did that for me. Only one did that for you.
Hallelujah. Man. Thank you, Jason. Okay.
Thank you, Jason. Because of the COVID restrictions and all the other, garbage along with that, we have elected in our church not to pass the plates for a while, but we're going to take this time to recognize, if you want to give, you can. We have plates in the back. Just get up and if you want now or whenever. But right now we're going to pray for that offering, and then we'll turn it over to Pastor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this day, Lord. The opportunity, Lord, to be here today. Thank you so much, Lord, for your love that's been showed upon us, Lord, through the sacrifice of your Son, our Savior, Lord. We take this time, Lord, every year to remember his birth, Lord, and then his life here. And ultimately, Lord, his death and his resurrection that's proclaimed in your word. Help us, Lord, to remember always, not just this time of Christmas, Lord, to make it that way all year round, Lord, to help us to always know our Savior and what he did for us. Be with our pastor, Lord, as he's about to speak. Just guide and direct there. And Lord, be with the gift and the giver now, Lord, as we consider this offering. Thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to do a responsive reading this morning. If you want to take your hymn books again and turn to the back, we're going to do number 34. It's entitled Stewardship. The responsive readings are between number 802 and 803. They add a song in the back of our hymnal. So 34, Stewardship. I'll read the first verse here, and you can respond with the bold print. Let's go ahead and everybody stand so we recognize we're reading God's Word. All right. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase.
Barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storeroom, that they may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it.
This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Use hospitality one to another without grudging.
As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Doug. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to services at Fruitland Baptist Church. It's good to see a nice group out today. God is still good, is he not? And I'll tell you what, I think we need to show some teeth. Smile today. Smile. God's done so much for us. We really lack nothing, do we? As Larry mentioned this morning as we prayed, you know, God never says he'll supply all of our wants, but he says he'll supply all of our needs through his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Well, as always, it's good to be with you today. I pray that if there's a visitor here that you'll, and we're glad you're here, first of all, but I pray that you'll receive a blessing. And I pray today that in our preaching and teaching and worship today, there would be a response that comes from the hearts of every person here. And as I've mentioned before, that is going to be automatic in some ways, but unless you make a movement toward God, you will be making a movement away from him. So everyone here today will have a response. God does know the heart, and we will know today, personally, where we stand with God, if we'll allow the Spirit to speak to us and have some retrospection within us. Well, hey, it's the season of lights, and I see some nice colors here. We are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. I always want to be sure to let us know that Jesus was not born on December 25th. And you can investigate all that, but even though he was likely born in September, the Bible does tell us actually when he was born. And hopefully you understand that, but I'm always in favor of taking advantage of this time when people are thinking about Jesus and where the celebration of his birth. And when we talk about gifts today, that's the greatest gift that was ever given. God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, given for our benefit. I heard some background talk somewhere. I don't know if it was here or somewhere else where I was, and people said, why do we give gifts? Well, we give gifts in recognition of the gifts that were given by God, the gift of Jesus Christ, but all the gifts that come along with that, the Savior of the world, the one who loves all people in this world. So anyway, let's celebrate. Let's make sure that we shine our lights because the light of the world, Jesus, was brought forth to this earth. Doug, thank you for the responsive reading this morning. This is not a Christmas message necessarily this morning, but it is a message about giving. So it does fit, doesn't it? And this is something that I've had in the works for quite a while, and we will do our best to do what we can today, but what we won't get done today will come back in an evening or later in after the new year, Lord willing, and cover this subject thoroughly. But no better subject today as we think about the gift of Jesus Christ and how we respond to that greatest gift that God gave. So our message title this morning is Guidelines for Giving. Once again, welcome to everyone. There is a handout for this message today. It's in the back. If you need one, Jeff has some in his hand there to help you out with. And we're going to ask that God would intervene in our lives today and turn our hearts toward Him at this time. So let's bow together in prayer, and we'll get right down to business. Father, thank you once again for this day. Every day, every moment that you give us has a purpose. And today, Lord, I would just pray that as we consider what your word has to say about giving, that we would be compelled, Lord, to examine not only our pattern of giving, but our priority of giving. And Lord, how it results in our own lives. So I pray today that your spirit would guide and direct, not only as I bring this to us, but Lord, as we consume it. And as we chew on it, and Lord, that again, it would bring a response from us that is positive today. We know that no matter what, there will be a response, as I mentioned. But I pray for a positive response. And Lord, we thank you that all things come from you. None of us can brag about anything that we've done, but we can brag on you, Lord, that you're the giver of all good gifts. So, Father, guide and direct us again today as I pray for this time that we look into your word. This is sometimes a touchy subject. It's no secret, Lord, that in our flesh we like to receive gifts, but we don't like to give. And so, Lord, may you change our hearts today, and may we consider that aspect of our lives. Now, Lord, we do understand that there are several in our church that are needy, and I'm not talking here necessarily about material things, but maybe have spiritual needs. Lord, we don't know all the hearts today and where things are at with folks. There could be people that are suffering today from troubles, there could have been a fight in the home, there could have been all kinds of things that Satan has attacked people with. We know there are some that are struggling with health needs. But Lord, as your word tells us, let's throw those weights aside today and run the race for you, keeping our eyes fixed, focused, firmly fixed and focused on you. And we ask that you would just again honor those prayers that have gone out for those that are suffering this day, whether they be here or absent. And also, Lord, we never forget our community. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the efforts that we have to outreach to those around us. And now, Lord, I need your help to bring this forth today as well. I'm weak, but you are strong, and I leave that in your hands this day. And I pray these things now in that most powerful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends in Christ, this morning I have an ultimate challenge in delivering a message on giving. This is a very broad subject, and the Bible has very much to say about it, and we have limited times in our preaching time to deliver this. As I mentioned earlier, there likely will be some tales that go along with this message. Probably we will not get through it this morning, what I have prepared. But there, should the Lord tarry and His grace prevail, we'll reach into some of these factors after the first of the year or finish some of this message in an evening service yet to come. But the subject of giving is broad and it encompasses all things. And gifts are an important aspect of what the Word of God illustrates to us about how God has blessed us. Now, I just mentioned Jesus Christ is the ultimate gift. But let me just tell you something, folks. It is the most ultimate gift in the fact of our salvation. But there are everything we really encounter or use or consume is a gift of God. I don't know if you've considered this morning, but every breath you've taken today has a measure of elements of oxygen and other gases that are present in this planet that cause us to be able to exist, to subsist, but also to flourish. Every breath is a gift from God. The air we breathe is a gift from God. You think about it today. It's not just our food, even though food is very important. Water is very important. But He supplies all of our needs through His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let me just say again, God has given everything as a gift for us. We don't deserve this air. We don't deserve the food. We've become a group of people, and it is not just currently, but it flourishes today, that are, you know, we are constantly thinking that we're owed something. We're owed nothing. We owe the Lord Jesus. You got it right. Everything. So this subject of giving is worthy of some of our investigation. Now tell me why we don't like to preach on giving many times. And I do periodically. Well, we just had a little example this morning in Sunday school. There's been so much corrupt activity. I'll admit to you, there's nothing that bothers me more than to listen to a radio program and hear a wonderful message and an appeal to the listeners, and they close that up with, let me tell you something. First of all, folks, God doesn't need our money. He wants our heart. He'll use that if it's given properly, and he'll use it mightily. But he doesn't need it because it's all his anyway. And that's the key to what we've got to get wrapped around our feeble minds. That this is only ours to use. Well, let me finish with the introduction, because you can't get to the conclusion without finishing the introduction, right? Maybe after the first of the year, as I said, I will do an in-depth series on the subject. But for today, the short course, packed with a punch, as the Bible has much to say on the subject and its branches. Money and possessions are a touchy subject for most, right? But like all parts of our relationship with the Lord, they must be preached on. And so I will. There is no hidden motive in this message to try to coerce for funds or because funds are short or abundant. It's here because it's in the book. And it is what the Spirit laid on my heart to present today, so we will leave it at that. So today, and I should have inserted this, some guidelines for giving. So we're going to explore a few of those this morning. This is the first one, and you let me know if your sheets, I'm preaching off my scratch copy that I wrote this. But the first guideline we want to look at today is just what I've already mentioned, that God is the giver of gifts as well as the originator and sustainer of all things good. We are accountable, and I want you to underscore that in your note sheet. We are accountable as caretakers of his blessings. And let me just say this. It's primarily the saved that are accountable, but so are the unsaved. Why are the saved accountable? Because we know better. We've had the instruction book to see. And as it says in Romans chapter 1 from the hand of the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to go to my farmer speaking here, there ain't no excuses. Isn't that what he says? It's here. So we are accountable, but even the unsaved, even the biblically illiterate, are accountable because of the very factor that what God has given us is his. And he's been gracious enough to let that be given to mankind. Nothing bothers me more than when people say, and I've illustrated this many times, God's never done nothing for me. You ignorant fool. He's done it all. He's done it all. But I have to keep my cool, and I have to understand. Because you see, where I'm at in my walk with the Lord, I haven't arrived either. Has anyone arrived here this morning with the Lord? Be careful what you say. If you think you've arrived, you haven't. We're learning and growing, hopefully, today in Christ. Well, let's go to some scriptures this morning to bear this out. Again, I could give you a whole day's worth of sermon on this, but let's go to Psalm 24:1 to begin this morning. Psalm 24 and verse 1. Here it is, laid out in plain, black and white, in our case, in an English Bible, very likely. Or maybe we do have some Spanish Bibles here today. Could be, or others. I'll never forget the time that Aunt Betty, you remember Aunt Betty, showed up here. No Bible. She and Uncle Richard, I said, Aunt Betty, would you like a Bible? Well, yeah, that'd be wonderful. So I went down and got her a Greek New Testament. I can't make heads or tails of that. Aren't you talk about a gift. 1611, the King James Bible was first published. We've had it over 400 years. This is a gift that you have in your hand today, whether it's in your device. Be careful how you use gifts. You know, I've been criticized some for my office, and I'm really struggling what to do about the office downstairs because I know it is getting messy. After 19 years, there's a lot of accumulation, and I know I deserve some chastisement. But you know why all that stuff's in that office, a lot of it? Because it was given as a gift. And I hate to see a gift thrown away. Anyway, you understand my plight. Here it is. The earth is the Lord's and the what? What's that mean? That word fullness mean? Everything it contains. And the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. World there, I believe you could legitimately translate cosmos. Everything. The planets. The whole creation is the Lord's and everything that it contains. What do you think about that when you see a verse like that? It makes you think, doesn't it? It makes you think. That vehicle that you drove today is what? It came from God's creative work. Sure, mankind has had the blessings of God to be able to bring that into a useful item for us, but everything that we're involved with is a direct or indirect gift of the benevolence of God. Let's go to James 1:17 through 18. Let me know if I get out of order, because again, I'm on my scratch copy here. James chapter 1:17 through 18. Hebrews, James. James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Say the following. Every good gift. By the way, is there anything such as that is a bad gift from God? No. You know what? When people give me ties, even if it's an ugly tie, I'll wear it. Because I believe that's a gift from God. Now, if you were to give me some kind of a tie that was distasteful or obscene, would I wear that? No, because I believe that is not a gift that came from God. Okay? So we need to differentiate that, but the Apostle James says, every good gift and every perfect gift. Now, what he's meaning there with that word perfect is not such a thing that there's a perfect gift, but what he's talking about is a complete gift. I know there's some of you in these seats today as you contemplate, and you know what? We buy a lot of gifts at Christmas, don't we? We tend to, and that's okay. But how many of you have spent days searching for the perfect gift for someone? Now, Kim and I we're pretty austere people. And by the way, one of the greatest gifts is that lady sitting there that he gave to me. We still even like each other after all these years, most of the time. That's a great gift. But I was discussing, Kim, and I won't reveal what, but we were thinking of giving our family a gift this year, a family gift that they could all do. You can come to me privately sometime. I might fill you in on a little of that. But, you know, have you ever searched for the perfect gift? Maybe when you were younger and deeply, or at whatever age and deeply in love with someone, it had to be the right thing. And what went into that? A lot of thought. Right? A lot of investigating and a lot of love. And that's what God gave to us, according to James here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. In other words, God has given us the right gifts that are just right, especially designed for us. Some in a general way, others in a specific way toward us. And it says here, it's from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Is it possible to revoke a gift? Well, sure it is. You've heard this tested in the courts and so forth. I could tell you a story that I know personally. There was a person that I knew that had bequeathed an inheritance to a family member. That family member removed a sink from her house, a rental house, one time. And because of that action, she took that person out of her will. Now, I'm not kidding you about this. A gift can be revoked, can it not? But does God ever revoke those perfect gifts? No, he does not. Because it says here, it with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Gifts fit the light of the world. Gifts fit the season of light. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I believe again that the record in Scripture says that mankind was created after God's own image. Aren't you thankful today for that very factor? I shared with someone recently, the angels were not even created for and given a way of redemption after they fell. Because they were created by God, but they were not created in his image. We as human beings are created in the very image of God. And folks, I want to tell you, that is a stupendous gift. Not that, I better be careful what I use, because I know many of you are pet lovers. But are you thankful that God did not bring you on board as a dog today? Even though the dogs give God praise and glory. Kim comes up with some really radical things. She has some dreams. We both do when we eat pickles. But what did you tell me the other morning, Kim? You had these dreams. You went downstairs. And what was in the tree in front of the house? An owl. Do that for me. How was he doing it? No, you did it really well. That was great, Kim. I like hearing that. I've asked her 3 or 4 times, what did the owl say? You know, what does the fox say? But you know what, folks? Even though God has his purpose in all those creative critters that he brought forth, you think about it. Aren't you thankful that he gave us what he did? Yep, even though I appreciate the owls and everything else that he created. But we should be a kind of first fruits in his creation. Latch on to that word first fruits because it's important about giving. See, God gave us his very best because we were the first fruits of his. That doesn't mean we're better than the animals. We all have our purpose. Well, we are, but we're exclusive in how God designed us. I probably said that wrong. Someone will hear this over the internet, and I'll get nasty letters. Of course, you know the complaint department's only open a half hour a day. And we don't publicize the times. Anyway, you get the drift, right? Colossians 1:16. Colossians 1:16. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1 and verse 16. Just a little more buttressing here of this fact that God has made everything that is good. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him, and here's the key there, and for him. God's creation brings him and enhances his glory. And then the last thing that I'd like us to turn to, which we could go to many places, we could make a sermon out of this first point, 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4 and 10. And I encourage you to spend some time in the Word as well, looking to support this first point. 1 Peter 4:10. And we'll also look at this as we go through the study on giving. About, and I mentioned it earlier, about accountability. Because we are accountable. We are accountable with what we do. And Peter says here, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. The gifts that God gave us are not for us to keep on our own, but they're given to what? Most of us should have learned in first grade how to, well, more earlier than first grade, how to do this. That's mine! It's his. You've got it, folks. Learn how to share. Gifts are given exclusively for us, but they're still meant to be shared. I believe this sincerely today, that this building would be filled with people if we were out sharing the gift of Jesus Christ with a purposed, accountable influence in our lives. Even so, minister or serve the same one to another as good stewards. What's a steward? A steward is a caretaker of someone else's benevolence that is accountable. And folks, that's something we want to remember. We are stewards of what God has given us. We are stewards of every breath of air He's given us. We are stewards of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice what Peter finishes with in this verse. He says, we are good stewards of the skimpy little bit that God has given us. The word manifold means what? Many. The manifold grace of God. Well, here's the bottom line to this, folks. The bottom line in Latin is sine qua non. Everything is God's. We get to use with discretion, accountability, and instruction from God. I'm thinking again of gifts that we see sometimes on Christmas Day. I've seen some of my grandchildren. They go home, and Kim and I find things for days afterward that they've lost because they've ripped through their gifts. Does anyone know that scenario? Of course, you've heard me before. My mom, you know, we'd have a room full of 30-some people. Let's open one at a time, you know. And we did, but when 4 o'clock or 4:15 rolled around, it was time to milk cows. Well, Mom, I'm sorry, but bossy's waiting. But understand this. There's so much that God's given us. How do we handle it? It should not be recklessly. All right, there's your first point. Point two. Giving back to God in recognition of His benevolence was instituted in the early days after creation. I'm also going to say this today too. You know I'm a biblicist. I like to stick with what the Bible says. Help me to stay accountable to that. I also don't like to go into what it does not say, with few exceptions. But the fact of the matter is, this idea of giving starts in the very beginning of the book. And there's a lot of misconceptions, as I said, about giving, but this is where it starts. And this illustrates what God expects. And it also tells us some things that we know He told the early dwellers on this earth that maybe are not found in Scripture. But they're found in Scripture because He told them, and He had expectations. So I do believe the Scripture is sound, that it gives us much information on many things. Let's get the point spit out here, John. Giving back to God in recognition of His benevolence was instituted in the early days after creation. The first things, or top portion, as He directs, go back to Him first as worship, and it's a priority. Is that what your paper said? Yes. Or something close? You know, with me, close is pretty good. Let's go to Genesis 4, 2 through 7. Interestingly enough, Lonnie had a lot about giving this morning in Sunday school. Come to Sunday school. God has this way of, I'll only say this about myself as a fool. You know, anyone that preaches is a fool. That's what the Bible says. But how He puts all these things together miraculously that fit on the same day. You've seen that happen many times. But we had a little talk about this morning. But Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 7. And these are the early days, and this is the record of the birth of the first offspring of the first two people, Adam and Eve, after the fall. Okay? Verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. So the first one recorded in the Bible is Cain. Okay. By the way, Cain means acquisition. And do you think Cain was a gift from God? Well, yeah. And that's why his name means acquisition. She acquired a gift from God. Okay. And Abel, the second one that's recorded to have been born, was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Underline of in your Bibles this morning or on your device, highlighted on your device. But the key to look at first there in verse 3 is this phrase that says, in the process of time. Did Cain and Abel do what they are going to do here because they just thought it up one day? The answer is no. You see, this is the problem with us, folks, as a fallen nature. It is not our nature to give gifts. It is our desire to get things. But God had been instructing these first dwellers on the earth about that very thing. It is not recorded in Scripture, but He was instructing them because they knew to do what? To give. And to give it back to who? To God. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought, okay? So God had been instructing these first humans, you know what? Think about me. This is all things that I have given you from the creation and the grace. You know, really, there shouldn't have been any humans alive at that time, right? And he's saying, here's what I'm saying. He said I've ordered or ordained that you be a giver back to me. And so we find there recorded in verse 3, and Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Now, what does that little preposition of mean? It simply means this, that Cain recognized or had been instructed by God that he needed to give back to God. But his thinking in his mind is like many of us and what we fall into. He said, I'm going to give him something. That's what that word means, or that preposition, of the ground. Something I grew. It never mentions in here that Cain had a desire to give God the first fruits. But I think Abel does here as we go along with this. And the reason that Abel was willing to give back and was accountable as a steward of God's grace for the first fruits is because he was taught that. In other words, God says what? I want the top cut. I want the top cut. It isn't that God orders people, but he is what? He's causing them to understand he is worthy of the top cut. Right? Let's think about this a minute. If someone gives you a lot of things, who is your loyalty to? Now, I'm not necessarily this way. Is it towards someone that gives you more or less? Usually, it's going to be to the one that gives you more. And God had shown that to them. Do you believe that today? Can I hear a response from anyone? Okay. I hate it when I'm the only one that thinks that way. Causes me to sweat, you know, like Richard Nixon. Never let them see you sweat. You don't believe me that he said that. He also had a 5 o'clock shadow by the middle of the day when he shaved. That's why he lost the 1960 election. You don't believe me, do you? Well, here it is. He gave a portion of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. By the way, why would Cain have given things from the ground and Abel of his flock? But I'm going to tell you what, folks. I believe we can also understand from Scripture that God asked for a specific kind of a sacrifice, a specific gift. And what he wanted was what? blood sacrifice, the sheep. See, all this fits together in the Word. A lamb, the Lamb of God, this is all tied together. Okay? So Cain's heart was what? I'll give God something of what I do. Cain's thinking centered around who? Himself. But Abel's thinking centered around the Lord. Now let's see what happens in 4. And Abel, he also brought of... No, that's not... Yes, that's right. He brought of the... Now, what's that word firstling mean? It means the top, the best, the first produce. Now, I won't go into the... I can't think of the word now. I'm having a mental block. The gestational cycle of sheep. But not all lambs arrive on the same day in a flock. By the way, you turn the ram in about the 1st of September, and you begin to get lambs at the end of February. Someone do the math. But I have never seen a flock of sheep bear the lambs on the same day, all of them. A few. Okay? But what's the big deal about that? The earlier lambs are going to be the what? The healthiest and the best. Yeah. They're going to be your top revenue earners out of that flock. Humans in our thinking say, well, I could use that first. But God's mandate, when we get it right, how we think about Him is that, hey, God gave me the best, so He deserves the best back. But again, we see that Abel gave of his flock and of the, did you notice there, the what thereof? Yeah. Now let's just think about this in our own struggles. Let's use the tomato field down here as an example. You're selling tomatoes. Someone says, could I have some tomatoes? And you say, sure. And I'm going to tell you, my heart is to give you the best. But in most cases, if you go to most people, they will say what? I'm going to save the best for myself or to make the money from. And others can get, if it's a giveaway, they're going to get what? But notice what God did here in the end of that verse. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. I believe what that means is God was pleased. He noted what Abel had given, and it made him happy. But Cain, and to his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You see, Cain is the model for the way humans work. Abel is the model for how a transformed human works under the power of God. The firstlings, the top, the best. By the way, both of these guys caught another thing that God says. And I'll never forget, Bill Hansford told me this one time. We should work harder to be able to give God more. Work. One of those four-letter words, W-O-R-K. Yes, it is right to work to give back to Jesus. It is right to work. It is right to have production. And that's borne out in Genesis 4. Is anyone bored yet? Well, Cain and Abel got it right, but Cain got it partly right. But now let's go to another example, just a little ways down the road here. Genesis 14. Genesis 14. This could turn into a three-piece message. I've got to get much more staccato in my deliverance and just go da-da-da-da-da-da, just like a machine gun, and we're out of here on time. Well, we're going to be out of here on time, but isn't it fun to soak this up? What's that, Doug? Whoops on what? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do not have a gun with me today. I carry a sword only. The Word of God. Genesis 14, 17 through 24. Genesis 14, 17 through 24. Here we encounter Abraham. And you can read the text that comes before this. But Abraham is going to meet a king here called Melchizedek. You can study the subject of Melchizedek. He was the king of Salem. Salem means peace. He was the king of Jerusalem. Who is the king of Jerusalem? Jesus. What Abraham encountered here was a pre-incarnate form of Jesus, the king of Jerusalem. And we notice, verse 17, and the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. By the way, Jesus was what? He was prophet, priest, and king. He fits the bill. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, a possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, this meaning Abraham, gave him tithes of all. Folks, this is the early illustration, and this may have been preached also to Cain and Abel when he talked about the firstlings of the flock. But it definitely is taught here early on in the life of the human race that tithing, which means tithe means 10%, is a benchmark as a gift. It was very well illustrated as that here in this first passage where tithing is first mentioned in the Bible explicitly. It's not a tax. It was a voluntary presentation back to the king of Salem. Okay, some very important things to consider there. Now, let me just say this. As you search through the Old Testament, you'll find a lot about tithing. And a lot of times it was a tax. And it was a tax that was levied by the religious hierarchy of the day. I've brought this for you before in the past, but I did some calculations one time that it for some individuals, the amount of tax that was brought about by the religious system could have been as high as 38% of the blessings that you received. Okay? Also note that it was not always given as money, but many times it was stipulated to be given as produce. In other words, your pumpkins, your corn, your cattle, your lambs. I believe, again, it's derived from work. And I personally believe that God does look at all the produce that we have as His. Okay? And our recognition and thanks that's given back to Him. That's called a tithe. More on that as we work through this. I want to just differentiate, though, this morning as well, because this morning we prayed for the offering here at Fruitland Baptist Church. Tithing and offering are different, maybe. Tithing is a rote response of 10%. If it's from the heart, God honors it. Okay? But the fact of the matter is, an offering is giving above the benchmark principle. An offering is giving above and beyond the benchmark principle of a tithe. Now, I'm going to hit you with something big before you leave today, because remember what our whole point of this today is, that we would have what as we left here? Accountability. Some of you are going to get upset about this. Am I against tithing? No, because it's a benchmark. But I do want to tell you this, and we'll close with this. Tithing is not mentioned in Scripture regarding the New Testament church. Well, yes, it is. Okay, you show me. Doesn't mean that it's taken off the picture, but it is not mentioned. I want to give you, as we close today, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. And I'm going to tell you quickly, and I want you to come back another time when we can finish this. Likely it's going to be next Sunday evening, because I'm going to be speaking about the Messiah from here on in the morning service. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 2. Here's one of the commandments found in the Scriptures that Paul gave to the churches in Galatia. And here's what he says. Now concerning the collection for the saints, or offering time, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do you. So he's saying, I've spoken this before, I'm going to speak it to you too here at Corinth. And here's what he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. You see, what Paul is teaching here, he's saying what we give back to the Lord, whether it be time, talents, funds, whatever it may be that he has blessed us with, he's telling us we need to be purposed in what we do. If you are purposed in your heart that the tithe, which is the benchmark for giving, is the thing to do from scriptures, you need to do it. By the way, giving is not removed in the New Testament or in the church age. It's encouraged, and what Paul's teaching and others' teaching comes to is that, again, there's a principle, you'll reap what you sow. A tithe may be wrong for someone in the New Testament if you're able to give more. But the goal that Paul's illustrating here is we better think about this because it's for the Lord. There's many things that are tied into that. We need to have purpose giving in the New Testament church. There are needs to operate God's work. We all know that. You don't need missionaries, the electric bill, the things it takes to operate. And yes, I acknowledge that, even the pastor's compensation. The tithe is a good principle. We'll come back next time and investigate this purposed giving further. Here's the conclusion for today. Okay? Yeah, I knew that'd get a response. Well, I haven't given you all the basics, but there are some basics and there is much more, which we may investigate after the first of the year on Sunday nights, however I'm led. I'll give you warning, though, so you won't miss it. Some of you are already saying, we want to hear it because he's wrong about some of these things. Well, if I'm wrong, help me. Okay? But let me challenge all of us. Think what God could multiply for his glory if we aligned our giving with the biblical guidelines, which we haven't gotten them all yet today. The biblical guidelines, including something we'll explore later called sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving is giving what you don't even have. You think God can bless it? The scriptures say he does. Some can even vouch for that he does. I challenge you and I to find evidence for anyone that gave their best to have ever been lacking. What do you think? The fact is, God knows our true heart. The real question as we leave today is, do we? Do we? Giving exposes, or I'll say this, giving or lack of giving exposes the heart. Amen. Let's take our hymnals today and stand. Number 610, it's also on the screen. Now today, no matter how this has hit each and every one of us individually, the goal here is to what? To know that we can change. And that God's been benevolent and gracious to each one of us by not putting a hammer on us where we've been wrong. That's the goal today. Accountability. We know that there are many principles we didn't get to today. But the biggest thing we did learn today in our short time is are what you and I give to the Lord off the top cut. And this old hymn illustrates that very well. It's give of your best to the master. Let's consider that as we go today. If there's a need in your life, by the way, accept that gift of salvation today if you're apart from Jesus Christ. But thank him as well today for all the gifts he's given. Even the air that we breathe. And approach his throne and through his word about how we can give back to him a pleasing gift in His sight. You come and get it right with God today. I'm here to, again, comfort you and help you. But God is the one who can ultimately help you today in the needs that we have in our lives. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Thanks for your good attention today. May this be a great day in our lives, in our fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Doug, I'm going to ask that you dismiss us today in prayer, please.